And we're back in the saddle on this Tuesday, August the 30th, in the year of our Lord 2011. And I could say, hi, Pastor Mark Smith. And he would say, what beautiful weather we have, except he's not here today. No, he's enjoying the beautiful weather, I believe. And we hope to see him tomorrow. So he asked if he could have this day off. And I said, no problem at all. Let's just kind of see you tomorrow. So we'll be talking tomorrow about the family of Jacob. It's the Sunday school lesson, and it's really a really interesting point, because the point we're going to be trying to make is, how do you get more blessings from God? Some say you need to be obedient. Some say you need stronger faith. Well, we're going to try and give you the answer to that tomorrow. But what are we doing on this Tuesday, August the 30th? Well, first of all, don't hesitate to call in. This is a call-in program, and if you'd like to call in, the numbers in the St. Louis area are 505-7850 and toll-free 1-800-730-2727. We're going to be talking about the difficulty we have in seeing Jesus in our godless world. It's a kind of a portion of evangelism. And by the way, I'm going to be doing a PowerPoint presentation on some of these points this coming Sunday at St. Paul de Pere. You know how easy that is. 12345 Manchester. Pretty simple. 12345 Manchester. So you go 270 to Manchester, and you just go east, stow about half a mile, and it's right there on your left. Pastor Kurowski likes talking about that we're living in an attention deficit culture. He wrote a whole book on that, Seduction of Extremes, which you can get at lawgospel.com. And one of the problems that we have a deficit disorder is that we're just not really aware of God. Many years ago, I had a Bible study. In fact, it was a set of studies. I called it Eyes of Faith. And the point I was trying to make is how differently the world looks through eyes of faith. This just happened yesterday, so I like to bring it in to kind of make the point. Michelle Bachmann, as you know, once was a Lutheran. She's now a evangelical, a strong Christian. And she was making a point about the hurricane that came into the East Coast and says, you know, God's trying to wake us up. First, the earthquake, now the hurricane. And I guess the head of the New York Times really got miffed at that. And he wants to ask everybody, you know, what is your religious thinking? And they had a conversation on that on a station. It was Fox, that you'd think would kind of be pretty good at it, but it was really horrible. Here's what their conclusion was. We have to make sure that the next president of the United States isn't going to use his religion to run the country. Now, when you first hear that, you may be thinking of a Muslim with Sharia law, and you'll say, oh, yeah, that's right. I'm really for that. But I'll tell you this. If that were the criterion for becoming the president of the United States, I could never be the president of the United States, because my faith, a Christianity, it just moves me in one direction and not another. It is impossible for a politician not to be influenced by what he truly believes. Now, if you've got politicians who belong to churches that are pro-life, but they don't believe that, you know, and they're not going to impose their spiritual values on the country, that's just a bunch of nonsense. It really means they don't really believe it in their heart of hearts. That's be like saying a German, well, you know, during World War II, Yes, it was terrible what the Nazis were doing with Jews, putting them in gas ovens and such, but I don't want to impose my religious thinking on the government. Didn't the Nuremberg trials make a really good point that there's a higher authority than your commanding officer? And if you don't abide by the higher authority, we're going to hang you from your neck. And that's what they did. A number of German soldiers were executed. Why? Because they obeyed their commander. They didn't allow religion, morality, whatever you want to call it, to influence them. Now, we talked yesterday about the two kingdoms, the spiritual kingdom and the temporal kingdom. There's a huge difference between Christianity and, say, the Islamic faith. Because for many Muslims, they don't see a distinction between God's will in the state and God's will in their religion. Therefore, whatever God says, they're going to impose on the state. It's called Sharia law. And even if you're an unbeliever, you're still going to have to follow that. If you're a woman, say in Saudi Arabia, that there's certain Muslim Sharia law things that you better be following, regardless of whether you're a Muslim or not. In Christianity, we see quite a difference between what God permits in the state and what he permits in the church. I'll just give you one very simple example. Divorce. If you have an unbiblical divorce in the church, you can be excommunicated. But if you have that same divorce in the state, you may be able to get divorced by God under no-fault rules. Now, why is that? Well, the reason that is because God's strictures in the church are much more important than those in the state. In other words, Christians are expected to live on a level of morality that is not expected. God does not expect that in the state. That's why the state makes use of the law to keep people in check. Because apart from the Holy Spirit, there's no reason they need to be kept in check. So there's a number of differences. For example, we're going to come and visit you if you're a member of my congregation and you're not coming to church and you're not taking the Lord's Supper or you're not bringing your children to be baptized. You see, you made a promise when you joined our congregation to follow the ordinance of Christ. And you also, and most church constitutions have this, you also gave us the right to come and visit you when you're acting contrary to the Word of God in these areas. Now, the state has nothing to do with making sure your children are baptized or that you take communion. So there's another example where there is a difference. It would be a sin for a mayor of a city to announce that everyone has to have their children baptized, even though that's the will of God. Because God doesn't want anybody forced to do things according to his will that are really part of the church. He does want people to be forced to do things according to his will that are of a general morality, such as murder, stealing. Yeah, you steal, you're going to be in trouble. Now, the point we're trying to make here, therefore, is that God is in charge of all of reality, both church and state. But people hardly ever see this. For example, when Michelle Bachmann made her comments about the earthquake, the hurricane, she was lambasted. Because for many people, particularly journalists in the secular realm, Being a Christian is believing in superstition. In fact, you know what the New York Times head editor said? He mocked the idea that a priest can have a Lord's Supper where what was bread and what was wine now bring with it the body and blood of Jesus Christ. He mocked that. Now, you see, you can only mock Christianity in this particular country. If you would mock Judaism like that, or the Islamic faith, you'd be in really big trouble. But you see, the reason they don't mind mocking is we don't have a Jewish Defense League. We certainly don't have Muslim radicals. You know what happens when you mock a Christian? He prays for you. So it's pretty easy. Now, here's the point I want to make. God recognizes, according to his scripture, that we are all sinners. And so he tries and wakes us up to that fact. He does so by seeing to it that we are not in control of our lives or of events around us. There's just no doubt that people flock to pray and to churches. You know how many churches on the East Coast were praying that the storm would not be as bad as it was forecast? Well, you can only guess. So obviously, God had a hand in both the earthquake and the hurricane. It's impossible for him not to. He's not a deist in the sense that he created the world and now he goes off on a vacation. No. There is nothing that happens that is not according to his permission. Now, the Reformed believe also that God is powerful and that he does just about everything. We don't believe that. We Lutherans believe that God is powerful and nothing happens without his permission, but he is not the cause of a lot of evil that's in the world. God doesn't cause someone to rob a bank. No. But there's no doubt that weather cannot take place without God's permission. So unlike the Reformed, who look into the scripture with the understanding of God's sovereignty, what they mean by sovereignty is anything that happens, God is doing. It's just not his permitted will, it's his active will. So if somebody goes to heaven, five-point Calvinists rejoice. If somebody goes to hell, they also praise God for his action, for his will. We believe, teach, and confess that God does give a modicum of free will that people often use to the disadvantage of the world. But to say that a hurricane could come and also not do the damage that was forecast in some areas, for me, that shows there's a God. And because I know his name is Jesus, it was pretty obvious to see Jesus at work this past weekend. However, if you're talking to a secularist, they wouldn't bring religion in at all in regard to the tornado or the hurricane or an earthquake or anything else, a tsunami. No, that's just Mother Nature. Now, I don't know who Mother Nature is. If there's a mother, you think there'd be a father. And there'd be children, and well, it just gets ridiculous. But when you believe in evolution, there's just no doubt that not only are you going to mock people who have religious views, but you're also not going to have a foundation for proper morality. And you're seeing that all over the place now. I've already mentioned we had an Orthodox rabbi who just was speaking recently about it's okay for a woman he knows to get into a lesbian marriage. I mean, this is how far religious people have fallen. That still, of course, is not the position of God. Just because somebody cloaked in vestments makes a point doesn't mean it's true at all. Jeremiah showed us this. You don't trust prophets. You check them out with what they are saying. In fact, I find it really interesting in the book of Jeremiah that the laity who listen to false prophets get a bigger consequence than the false prophets themselves. That's why, particularly on listener-supported KFUO radio, we are to mirror Lutheran theology. So the way we do that, if I say something you don't agree with, you should be phoning me and challenging me to find that in the Scripture. And if I can't find it in the Scripture, turn the station, because you're listening to a bunch of false prophets. Now, that's why we're so careful, particularly when we get in the area of politics, that when you're dealing with law and gospel, I really don't have the right to tell you who you should be voting for. Or just because somebody isn't a Christian, maybe they're a Mormon or a Muslim, I certainly don't have the right to say that, boy, you should not vote for them because of what they're going to do to the country. No. Now, there was a lot of fears under Kennedy when he got elected as president that he would actually get the Pope very influential in the country. Well, it didn't happen. It just didn't happen. And particularly in Lutheran theology, there's a very clear distinction between what I'm going to say to my congregation and what I'm going to say to my country. So in the congregation, you could be disciplined if you don't baptize your children. But as a government official, I don't have any right to tell you to do that, because this is something that you're supposed to do on the basis of your conscience and according to what you believe. You see, when we're doing evangelism, we start off with the assumption that Christ is alive and at work in our world. Christ plays in 10,000 places. He's everywhere. It's kind of interesting. The word Emmanuel, God with us, from the Latin manera, which means to stay or to remain. You see, God is with us here on earth, not just for 33 years, but forever. The incarnation was not a 33-year experiment. It's really the permanent mode of God's engagement with you right now. We are to help others to be aware of Christ's presence, because we don't sing, "I know that my Redeemer lived." No, we sing, "I know that my Redeemer lives." We serve a risen Savior. You know, too often churches, they think they're taking God into a godless world, as though God's not going to be there until we get there. We need to understand that we're actually, as witnesses, following God into the world in which He is already redemptively present. Well, what an evangelist does to others is to kind of help to reveal that Jesus is perceptible. He's able to be experienced. Now, that takes eyes of faith. In fact, even in nature, we can come to see that. Our numbers here are 505-7850 or toll-free 1-800-730-2727. Let's go speak to our good friend, Terrence. Hi, Terrence.
How you doing there, Pastor Baker?
Good. How can I help you?
I couldn't agree with you more. Dealing with Michelle Bachman, a person that's a Christian or a person that's a Buddhist or a Muslim or even a person that is racist in any position of authority, who a person is affects their perception and their decision making. And you have a lot of people nowadays in positions with jobs and whatnot and positions of authority. Folks want to take Christ from you. They don't want you to be who you are.
Yes.
And, you know, you can take a person maybe away from Christians, but you can't take Christ out of a person.
No.
Scripture in John 10:27-30 plainly tells us that my sheep listen to my voice, I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. And so...
You know, Karens, with Concordia Mission Society, that I worked for full time, when they went to Kazakhstan and Kyrgyzstan, after the communists left and the fall of communism, they found many Christians who had closet churches. Well, what I meant by that, they had closets that they would have worship materials in, and they would go in there, because if you were ever found to be worshiping at all, you'd be put to death under communism. But there were, like you said, they could force people not to worship outwardly, but boy, inwardly and within their homes, they had no power to stop it.
As a person is who they are. It seems to me that a lot want to head us in the direction to make sure that who's ever in office, or who's ever in positions of authority, they want to make sure that they're not Christians. You know, and that, it concerns me, even though I know it's something that they're not going to be able to do. But the effort that they're putting into it is most disturbing.
Well said. Thank you very much for calling, Terrence.
You take care, Pastor Baker.
God bless. Bye.
God bless you also.
I'm Tom Baker. Anybody else can call at 505-7850 or toll free 1-800-730-2727. You see, we as Christians know something about this world that unbelievers don't know. And that is, we recognize Jesus everywhere. That there's nothing that goes on. When we get back from the break, you're going to start hearing music of a hymn. It's a song that I was given recently, and it's just talking about creation. But the singers do such a good job of it kind of reminds you of Romans 1, that nobody has an excuse, because it is clear God is everywhere. You sit next to Christ all the time, and yet many times you fail to recognize his activity all around you. So what evangelism is simply revealing to people what God is doing in their lives, so that they too can be hidden with Christ. So they can walk so close to God that, in a sense, they cast only one shadow. As I said before, the best definition of the church is the community of competence, in the sense of being able to recognize Jesus as the risen Lord. You see, the fact of the matter is, there are many reasons why people miss the sightings of Jesus. So when we get back from the break, we'll take a phone call. Frank, if you can wait through the break, maybe play a little of this song, and then speak about the 10 reasons why people miss Jesus active, not only in their own lives, but in the lives of those around them. I'm Tom Baker. Please stay with us through the break.
Sign on with Morning Essentials Monday through Friday. Wake up with inspiration, information, and some great guests like Pastor Curtis Dieterding, Dr. Jack Fiennes, Pastor Kurt Taylor, Ruth Cook, Dr. Randy Tobler, Connie Dickman, Dr. Bob Weiss, Pastor John Lukomsky, Jane Wilkie, Pastor Nathan Metter, Dr. Lane Berglund, Pastor Warren Worth, and Pastor Kurt Taylor. Essential guests, mornings on KFUO Radio.
There are many ways for you to keep up to date on the ministry of KFUO Radio. One of the easiest is to follow us on Facebook. Just go to facebook.com/KFUO Radio, then click the like button. Every time we add something new to our Facebook page, you'll receive the updates on your news feed page. What will you find on KFUO's Facebook page? Well, you'll find program audio. Also, you'll receive the occasional behind-the-scenes video and information about the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Become our Facebook friend today and follow the ministry of KFUO Radio.
Even a casual time around the dinner table can have a profound impact on those around you. This is Focus on the Family Minute. I'm John Fuller. And one family's daily interactions had a significant impact on Dr. John Trent as a young man.
I saw the blessing lived out, not in the Bible, first of all, because I wasn't going to church. I was a godless pagan and just lost as a goose. And all of a sudden, he would invite us, this big stud ex-Chico State football player named Doug Barham would invite us to his home. But I watched how he treated his wife, and I watched how he treated his kids. They were 5 and 6 at the time. And I used to drive my green Volkswagen van to his house with the mower, and I'd mow the yard right at dinner time. Because then I wouldn't take any money, but he'd go, well, I'd trick him into invite me into dinner after I mowed his yard. And I got to be around a home all lit up with God's love.
Remember that how you live and love your family speaks volumes to those who are watching. Find spiritual encouragement for your journey at FocusOnTheFamily.com.
The Bible Study airs on KFUO Radio weekday mornings at 10 in the Central Time Zone. But for those who may miss it the first time, we repeat the program just after 6. The study of God's Word in Scripture with the proper pastoral oversight is what you'll hear. The questions come from everyone, but the Bible study is Scriptures Uncovered so we can learn and understand what God is telling us.
Exclusively underwritten by Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, on KFUO Radio.
People who do not want to feel close to each other should avoid singing, because singing forms bonds. That's probably why the Bible loves singing, and why on the next Sing for Joy, you will hear music about the bond of love. Join us. You'll like what you hear.
Sundays at noon on KFUO Radio.
Tom Baker back for the second portion of the program on this Tuesday, August the 30th. And before I play the hymn, I promise we're going to go to the phone lines and let's speak with Frank. Hi, Frank.
Hi, Pastor. Yeah, it's always interesting listening to your programming.
Thank you.
The topic that you were discussing earlier, you made reference to the Fox News channel and how they were perplexed and they were discussing, they didn't want people to... that had a religious outlook to be in positions of authority,
yes.
So on and so forth. I find it amazing that these people can probably are college educated, are supposed to be thinkers, and they don't realize that every human being is religious. Every human being
has a God.
Belief system. Yeah, they have their belief system.
Yep.
Just talk to any person. And I was thinking about a book I read a few years ago by Dr. Elvin Schmidt, How Christianity Changed the World.
Yes.
Most liberals and everybody else that disagrees with Christianity have very little idea that the value system they have is inherited capital from Christianity. They're so permeated with Christianity in the way of thinking of what's right and wrong, what's good and evil. They're not even aware of it. It's like a fish not even being aware that they're in water. It's just simply amazing, and I wish that somebody would bring that up.
Well, I really appreciate the call. Thank you so very much. In fact, we're going to be talking a little bit about that right now, or at least we're going to be hearing somebody. They're singing about fish, too. And this is a hymn that, boy, I just have really been impressed with what these people are singing. The reason I really like it is this is a hymn in which you can actually hear the words clearly. So without further ado.
God laid the foundations of the earth. The heavens are the work of His hands. Created by God, He called them forth. He set His handprints on every land. Lift your eyes and look to the heavens. The Lord created all of these. He marked out the great horizon. He set the boundaries of the seas. God made the heavens and the earth. The earth was empty and formless. His Spirit swept over the waters. The surface deep was darkness. And God said, let there be light. He made it separate from darkness. The light He called day and darkness night. He made it all by His goodness. Lift your eyes and look to the heavens. The Lord created all of these. He marked out the great horizon. He set the boundaries of the sea. Between the waters to make the clouds separate from waters below. The space He called sky, the heavens were formed. These mighty wonders made by His word. Below the sky, God set in place. The waters gathered and He called them seas. He set dry ground in its own space. God simply spoke it and it came to be. Lift your eyes and look to the heavens. The Lord created all of these. He marked out the great horizon. He set the boundaries of the seas. Lift your eyes and look to the heavens. The Lord created all of these. He marked out the great horizon. He set the boundaries of the seas.
Romans Chapter 1, since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. Now we know that from creation, you can't get the revelation of Jesus Christ having died on the cross for your sins. But they are without excuse when, as Romans goes on, they know there's a God, but they don't glorify Him. They become fools. They change the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. When you're doing evangelism, yes, you can sometimes look to creation. Before the end, unless we get more phone calls and I don't get to it, we're going to be hearing another hymn. By the way, that was by Chris Bergman. And the hymn we're going to be hearing, the next one, is by Joan Voges. And it's on the basis of Psalm 148. I'll just read a little bit of it. Praise the Lord from the earth, your great sea creatures and all the depths, fire and hail, snow and clouds, stormy wind, fulfilling His word, mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl. I tell you, evangelism is simply pointing out the presence of God. And when you get a person to the point of, well, how do you know more about this God? Well, that's when you can talk about Jesus. Talking about Jesus is simply revealing what He is doing now in their lives because of what He did at the cross and the resurrection. Unfortunately, even Christians have an inability to recognize Jesus, certainly before His resurrection. Look how many times Jesus would do something and the disciples got all mixed up. Even the people thought He was going to be a bread king. His own hometown was all upset because He wasn't doing the miracles He had done in that Gentile Capernaum. People walking on the road to Emmaus, they didn't recognize Him. Mary, at the empty tomb, where had they laid the Lord? Peter, oh, if you want to hear a great sermon, it was on KFUO on Sunday, when they were talking about Peter, how many times he was messed up. Hoof in the mouth, Peter. Don't look down on those of the past who missed Jesus, even though He was standing right in front of them. Because you also have a hard time in recognizing Him. And here are some reasons. Sometimes He's too close. Too close. Well, remember when you were a kid, your mom or dad would tell you to go find something, and you looked everywhere, and I cannot find it. And then they walk into your room. In fact, this still happens to me with my wife. And she finds it immediately. If it had been any closer to you, it would have bitten you. See, Jesus can be so close, because He is. He's closer than your brother. It's like asking a bird to see air or a fish to see water. How does everything see itself in the world? Marshall McLuhan once said, "We don't know who discovered water. All we know is it wasn't a fish." Some things are so close that we get closed to them. And some things are so close, less of me and more of Him. Okay, which one of us is which? Remember the Pharisees? Jesus said to them, "You search the Scriptures looking to find the Messiah, and here I am standing in front of you." Yes, sometimes, how many times have you gone up to receive the body and blood of Jesus Christ in the sacrament and your mind is wandering? Boy, I hope the service gets done in time for the football game or whatever. He's so close, you're not even aware of it. I'll tell you, that wouldn't have happened in the Old Testament when the high priest went into the Holy of Holies. I'm sure he wasn't talking about near a soccer game that they were maybe going to have afterwards in the wilderness. Boy, he was just focused on that Holy of Holies. But because Jesus comes in ways that are so close to us, like a morsel of bread, a sip of wine, we often miss His presence. Because whether we like it or not, we kind of are like the head editor of the New York Times who mentioned yesterday, you know, there was a time I once also believed that a priest could take a piece of bread and some wine, and from that I received the body and blood of Christ. He considers that pure superstition. I think one of the biggest reasons why we miss Jesus is because we have a false division between the sacred and the secular. And that's a big conversation going on right now. You have so many opportunities to witness if you're at the workplace, especially in office or where you get to talk to people during lunch, as they're trying to figure out how much religion do you want in the new president of the United States or the next president? It may be the same one. We don't know which way the election's going to go. But a lot of people are saying, no, I don't want him imposing his religious values. Oh, no? Well, what if his religious values prohibits slavery? What if his religious values prohibit murder or stealing? You don't want him? Of course not. So there's got to be a lot of discussion between the two kingdoms. In other words, God is just not active in the church. I read that. You want to meet God, then you got to go to church. No, you don't. I remember watching the hurricane, and there was a gentleman kind of on his knees at his front door stoop, and the water was coming up, but it was still 2 inches. It had to go higher before it went into the house. And he said, boy, this is a lot worse than I thought it was going to be. And then the word came that the water was beginning to recede. So it never went in his house. Who did that? Jesus did. And yet Jesus wasn't mentioned once during the entire hurricane. At least I didn't hear his name. You see, both the Bible and the creation reveal God. Now, the creation alone, boy, that's just natural knowledge of God. That won't get you anywhere to saving faith, but it sure can wake people up. Now, I'm not of this mindset, but people go on trips, see the Grand Canyon or mountain ranges, and they lose their breath. Oh, I turn on the Discovery Channel if I want to see that. I'm not the one for going on trips to see the scenery. I'm just not built that way. I mean, when we went on the Caribbean cruise, if anybody asked me why I really liked it, it wasn't because of visiting Mexico or seeing the expanse of the sea. No, it was free pizza 24 hours a day and hot chocolate. I couldn't believe it. So, I'm maybe not as open to the grandeur of God in the creation as others are, but those that are, use the Psalms. Don't limit God's voice to the sanctified church. God speaks not only in the church, but in the pub. You know, we often live as though one is sacred, the other is secular, one earthly, one divine. No, Jesus says there's just one. Music isn't sacred and secular, there's only music. Christianity is relentlessly life-encompassing. The spiritual life is not isolated from the rest of life. It's totally integrated into it. So, for me, religion isn't a separate subject or activity among others. It's all in all. You see, that's because of the doctrine of the incarnation. When Jesus became a human being, he has entered into our world. And he is active. The only difference between him and you is that his humanity is now all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present. There are many reasons why we don't notice Jesus. Another one is because we fear the living God. We're really not sure that we want to live with a living God. But God stuck between the pages of our Bible. Now, that's a controllable God, because we always snap the book shut. The dangerous one is the living, breathing Jesus. Share the law with someone and see what kind of response you get. To get them to the point where they also agree that they're poor, miserable sinners deserving nothing but temporal and eternal punishment. Boy, do the egos rise. Does the self-defense mechanisms get working? It's a shame that for many people, Jesus escaped the tomb, but now he's cloistered in the Bible. And there are even, what, monasteries and nunneries? We need to be careful that we don't worship the Bible, or that we don't worship and love of liturgy. There's no doubt that mature Christian liturgy can really help your soul. But don't think that evangelism only can be done within the worshiping setting. We need to see the signs that Jesus leaves behind, kind of like breadcrumbs. See, Jesus is never really with you. He's just ahead of you. He's eternally present. The 12th century French monk, Bernard of Clairvaux, talked of God's presence this way. I have felt that he was present. I remember afterwards that he was then with me, and sometimes I have sensed his coming in advance, but never have I been aware of the particular moment when he came or went. You need to get your eyes dilated in advance, or else you're not going to see the magic of Christ's moments. You know, everyone knows this who has ever viewed a painting or read a poem. And they look at it and, well, they can't quite figure it out. Then somebody with a practice eye and mind, they return to that piece of art. They begin explaining it, and all of a sudden, all kinds of things happen that just really blow your mind. We're going to take one more phone call, and then we're going to play another piece that I think is going to be helpful. Let's go talk with Jan. Hi, Jan.
Hi, Pastor. I'd like to ask you, well... can I ask you about Isaiah 48, verse 10, the context, I don't know the context, but what was puzzling to me, it says, "Behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tried you in the furnace of affliction." And the only way I can envision this is, like a Venn diagram, is the furnace of affliction the intersection of a fiery furnace, or are they two separate things?
Boy, I'd have to kind of look at that. That's a little different subject than we're talking about right now, too. That would be a good question for Ask on Friday.
Huh.
It doesn't really quite fit in, and I'd have to, with the amount of time I have left, I do want to play this one piece. So let me look at it, and maybe Mark and I can take a look at it when we meet together tomorrow. But thanks anyway for calling. I do want to get to this other piece that I promised you, because this song by Joan Vogus is really pretty good. It's entitled, "Sing to the Lord, You People of God," and it's based on Hebrews chapter 1. In fact, a couple of verses out of there. "In these last days, God has spoken to us by a Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the world, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high." Now, it's on the basis of that that this hymn is sung. And so we'd like to have you listen to it. It's called Sing to the Lord, You People of God. Sing to the Lord, You People of God.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Listen to Law and Gospel weekdays at 3 p.m. on KFUO Radio. You can write Pastor Tom at KFUO Radio, 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. Law and Gospel is archived for your listening convenience at KFUO.org.